Welcome to My Medieval Mayhem, the podcast where we discuss medieval literature, history, and medievalism. I'm Marcel Losada, bird watcher and falcon spotter. And with me, as always, is Jan Michael Losada, developing a phobia of flying.
Oh, yes. With the current state of the world and the amount of flying I do, it is always on my mind how mortal I am. Yes, it is I, Jan. Welcome back to our little corner of medieval nerdery.
Absolutely. So happy to be here, Jan. Today, we're going to continue on with the Decameron.
We're back to this fancy little text. Great.
And so I kind of promised you last time that we would look at a story after the last story. Do you remember the last story? Do you want to quickly recap it?
Okay. So last time we dug into the Decameron, which is the predecessor to the Canterbury Tales.
That's right.
Okay, great. I'm off to the races. The Decameron is like a rich people's vacation during a plague.
Yep.
From what I roughly remember.
Good.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. And then the story we covered was about a man finding a ghost torture.
Yeah. Well, first
event.
He's before the ghost torture. If you remember, he has a crush, right?
I was getting to the part that the story gets just brutally problematic. Oh yes, he was after a little lady who didn't want his advances, and so he found a ghost war crime. I don't know.
I'd say like unfair afterlife.
Yeah, real bad situation where a woman was being eaten by dogs on the weekly. And our fucking hero of the story, I guess. Honestly, I don't even think the dogs are the heroes of this story because they're the person. But
how did they end up in hell? You know,
what did they do? 1,000%. But I believe he set up a situation where the woman would witness the ghost tragedy and then fall in love with him out of fear.
I think you nailed it. Fear that that's gonna happen to her too, right? And he stages a whole dinner, and you can listen to the whole
chill.
There,
yep it's a chill event.
So the next part here is, or the story, this is literally the next story. All right, so that's kind of the nice segue here, is these stories in some ways go together a little bit, right?
Okay.
Let's delve into it. I think that's probably the best thing to do right now.
Oh, of course. Hit me.
Oh, real quick before I get into it. Sorry. There's one last thing I wanted to bring up. Amazon had a show, The Decameron, right? And I finally got around to watching this fucking thing as it was recommended. And oh my God, what a piece of shit, you know? Cause it has, I don't know who the hell it's for. Like, I don't know who the audience is supposed to be. You know, the Decameron is a frame story where everybody's telling a story, right? So I thought, okay, it's going to be like an anthology, right?
And yeah, like, it kind of lends itself to that idea, right? Yeah.
Great. Easy, you know, it's kind of a slam dunk, you know, and you could, you could modernize these stories. You could, there's a lot of ways you could go, even if you don't want to just like retell these stories, which is what you could totally do too. Just tell these fucking stories. Nobody knows what the fucking Decameron is in the United States. I guarantee it. You know, like you might get one or two.
I'll tell you what, I've never heard the story of ghost fear of that's, it's new on my list. So,
instead what they do is they make a story about leaving, Florence during the plague, and they go to a rich guy's
house.
Oh,
they make
never
it
tell
about
stories.
The okay. They make it about the actual experience of writing the Decameron, as opposed to the stories of the Decameron. Yeah,
I guess, but it's not even like people telling stories. It's like mixed identity, and it's like a drama based in there. It'd almost be like you're going to tell the story of Milo and Otis, right?
Okay, sure.
And you know, the little animals, and instead you focus on their owners the whole time. Like,
yeah, sure, you know? Sure.
You're like, the fuck is this? I don't give a shit about people. I want to see the puppies, right? Which is kind of what this is, where you're watching it and you're like, this is nothing like the Decameron. I mean, it's like loosely based on it, kind of. It lives in the same world.
It's when the meta doesn't do you well. Yeah, yeah. Shouldn't have drifted that far from the source material.
Yeah, that's one of the, or if you're going to do that, just give me like a brand new take on it, you know, like,
yeah, sure, sure.
You know, set it up the same, and then they tell crazy bullshit stories that have
nothing to do with Decameron. Yeah, sure, sure, sure.
But you took what the Decameron is, which is, you know, this anthology type, you know, people telling stories, and, you know, you could, you know, like modern Italian life. I don't know, make it about the mafia. Shit, there's so many things you could do that would have made it so much better. Than what it is.
Than what it is, sure.
At one point, next time you're over, we'll watch a little bit of it. And, you know, you can also hang your head in shame for them. For them. Yeah. Not for yourself. For them.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
All right. This is, let me make sure. Oh, I forget what book we're in. I think this is the fifth day, ninth story. Okay. I'm going to stick with that.
Okay.
Here. So, it goes on. Remember, these are not titled. They are literally just, you know, once they finish, you kind of.
We don't need them. We don't need them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Don't need them.
This is given a title, but I will give that to you later. All right.
Okay.
Like, you know, people after a while are like, well, what do we call this thing?
Yeah, sure, sure. Well, the convenience of a name is hard to top. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Once Philomena had finished, so Philomena was the woman that was telling the last story. Right?
Okay.
The queen, finding that there was no one left to speak apart from herself, Dioneo being excluded from the reckoning because of his privilege, smiled cheerfully and said, "It is now my turn to address you, and I shall gladly do so, dearest ladies, with a story similar in some respects to the one we have just heard." So, like I told you.
Okay. Yeah,
some tie-in. "This I have chosen not only to acquaint you with the power of your beauty over men of noble spirit, but so that you may learn to choose for yourselves, whenever necessary, the persons on whom to bestow your largesse, instead of always leaving these matters to be decided for you by fortune, who, as it happens, nearly always scatters her gifts with more abundance than discretion." So she's saying, like, to all the ladies out there, right? You just heard a story like that, but I'm going to tell you one of how you have the power to rule over men and choose for yourself who you want to give your wealth to instead of letting fortune decide. Because when that happens, fortune is typically, you know, gives you less than you would want.
Sure, sure, sure. Reality is always comes short of the dream.
Yeah, and this is kind of, you know, for all the single ladies out there. So,
sure.
Yeah. You are to know then that Coppo di Borghese Domenici, who once used to live in our city and possibly lives there still, one of the most highly respected men of our century, who was a real person, by the way, a friend of Boccaccio.
Okay.
Person worthy of eternal fame, who achieved his position of preeminence by dint of his character and abilities rather than by his noble lineage, frequently took pleasure during his declining years in discussing incidents from the past with his neighbors and other folk.
Okay, fucking, you didn't even need to write this down. Old man likes to talk about the good old times. Cool. That's just the fanciest way of saying, like, the fucking sun rises in the morning. Like, yeah, sure. Old men love discussing the good old times. Great.
Yeah. In this pastime, he excelled all others, for he was...
I'm sure he did. I'm sure. Oh, he threw the ball the furthest you've ever seen. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you remember the medieval inclination to make everything the best.
Everything the best you've ever seen. Let's go. Bring it. Bring it.
He was more coherent, possessed a superior memory, and spoke with greater eloquence.
Sure.
He had a fine repertoire, including a tale he frequently told concerning a young Florentine, which is a person from Florence, right?
Sure.
Called Federico, the son of Messer Filippo Alberighi, who for his deeds of chivalry and courtly manners was more highly spoken of than any other squire in Tuscany.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, so, Alberighi are listed in Dante's Paradise as one of the oldest Florentine families.
Okay.
In the Paradiso. Yeah.
Okay.
So they lived in the same quarter of the city as Dante's own family.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's a real fancy poets, the lot of them.
Yeah. The Alighieri and the Alberighi. Yeah. So real people, you know, he's writing in his neighbors. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, sure. Cool. Yep. I mean, must be nice. Must be nice to have interesting neighbors. Good on you.
Yeah. So in the manner of most young men of gentle breeding, Federigo lost his heart to a noble lady whose name was Mona Giovanna, and who in her time was considered one of the loveliest and most adorable women to be found in Florence.
I mean, there it is. The most adorable woman. Okay,
of course.
Great.
And with the object of winning her love, he rode at the ring, tilted, gave sumptuous banquets, and distributed a large number of gifts, spending money without any restraint whatsoever.
Okay, so he's like dropping some bills for her. Okay, great.
Exactly, yeah. But since she was no less chaste than she was fair, the lady took no notice, either of the things that were done in her honor or of the person who did them.
Okay, so she's getting enough attention that none of this is affecting her. Sure.
Yeah, right. And she's very chaste, right? So, right. You know, very proper, sure. Exactly what you want, I guess, in an Italian wife maybe at this time.
Sure.
In this way, spending far more than he could afford and deriving no profit in return, Federigo lost his entire fortune, and there's a parenthetical, as can easily happen, and reduced him to himself to poverty, being left with nothing other than a tiny little farm, which produced an income just sufficient for him to live very frugally, and one falcon of the finest breed in the whole world.
Go, is that like a normal thing to happen back then? Is a single are there multiple falcon households?
Oh, yes.
There are so many. Okay.
Oh,
of
yeah.
course there are.
You'd have your aviary. I think hawks actually are.
You'd
are
have
special.
Your aviary? You can't just say that. That's not a, I didn't know people just had aviaries. Everyone just had falcons back then.
A lot of people, yeah. Falconing
what do you
was
mean a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, rich people, right? Like nobles would falcon
just had
all the time. Yeah, yeah.
What?
Rare
what?
Birds, it's pretty common, you know. Have just a fucking falcon and to hunt with it, right? To be a falconer. Yeah.
You are not acting like that. This is like finding out there used to be an extra day in the week. Like, what the fuck?
We can talk about time at some point, but yeah.
I'm sorry, but just people used to have fucked up to falcons.
Well, that, like, I don't know how many you're picturing, but yeah.
I am picturing. Not,
yeah, like, yeah.
You
I
go
say
to
hundreds, but yeah.
You go to a party and everyone, like, fancy pants people are going to a fancy pants
hey,
party.
You'd be like, hey, do you want to go falconing? And you'd be like, where's your falcon? Yeah, you know.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Wow. I just.
Raptors well, that, and you know yeah
totally. That blew my fucking mind. All right, so one of the nicest falcons ever is going to be a part of this gift. Okay.
Yeah of the finest breed, it said, in the whole world, but it doesn't tell me what the breed is, so I'm not sure. But
it's
other
probably
than maybe,
an Italian breed.
I'd imagine. Yeah. Since he was deeply in love as ever and felt unable to go on living the sort of life in Florence to which he aspired, he moved out to Campi. So Campi is Campi Bisenzio, about 10 miles northwest of Florence. It's on the road to Prato. So where his little farm happened to be situated. Having settled in the country, he went hunting as often as possible with his falcon, because they get you food, right? You could pick up rabbits and
Sure. Sure. I got a feeling a typical falcon is mostly how much of that rabbit is that falcon eating, right? That falcon's eating most of that fucking rabbit.
You know, they're very trainable and very loyal. You know, in Mongolia, they'll train eagles, golden eagles. And this used to be a big thing, and they can actually take down a pretty big game, you know, like a goats and deer and stuff like that. And I think a falcon, depending on its size, can actually take some pretty small deer too. So, you know, but you do have to feed, you know, I'm sure they demand their cut, you know, so.
You got to figure you're splitting a rabbit with the fucking falcon. The fuck?
With the feathered dinosaur. So,
this is wild. I did not know we were opening falcon door here. All right.
I didn't realize that was so novel to you, but
it's pretty. Oh. I thought falconry was like it was today, where it's just a handful of weirdos that like figured out that birds can do shit. I didn't know it was just like a ubiquitous thing in their culture.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that's... much more common, especially for the wealthy, you know. It was, it's a gentleman's form of hunting, right? So,
you got a Pokemon that you can fucking throw out.
Go, team! Pretty fucking metal, honestly, you know. Again, he went hunting as often as possible with his falcon, and without seeking assistance from anyone, he patiently resigned himself to a life of poverty.
Okay.
Now, one day, while Federico was living in these straitened circumstances, the husband of Monna Giovanna happened to fall ill, and realizing that he was about to die, he drew up his will. He was a very rich man, and in his will, he left everything to his son, who was just growing up, further stipulating that if his son should die without legitimate issue, his estate would go to Monna Giovanna, to whom he had always been deeply devoted. Okay. So, are you getting what's happening there?
Hit me.
Okay, so Monna Giovanna is now married, right? The husband of Monna Giovanna is falling ill.
Yeah.
And he's going to die, right? So he brings up a will, and he's going to leave everything to his son.
Okay.
And then if anything happens to his son, though, everything's going to go to Monna Giovanna.
Sure.
Yeah. Which shows at this point in Italy, things can actually go to a woman. In history, this will become contested sometimes, you know. Sometimes they lose rights. Sometimes they're able to have things. You know, Italian society is pretty patriarchal and misogynistic. So, you know, this isn't a time where women enjoy a lot of rights or a place. Although, you know, it kind of ebbs and flows somewhat. So, it's not as bad as like industrial Victorian England, where, you know, that's real bad, but it's all flavors of fucked, right?
Yep. I think I'm going to make a t-shirt with that. It's all flavors of fucked.
Shortly afterwards, he died, the husband.
Okay.
Leaving Monna Giovanna a widow. And every summer, in accordance with Florentine custom, she went away with her son to a country estate of theirs, which was very near Federico's farm.
Okay.
Consequently, this young lad of hers happened to become friendly with Federico, acquiring a passion for birds and dogs.
What is it with birds? What is it?
I'm telling you, it was a thing back then.
You haven't mentioned it ever in this fucking podcast. Like, what is happening?
I'll make
go on. Yeah, no, please. I'm
more of an effort.
I'm the one in the wrong here. I just
yeah, well,
know.
you know, fish wouldn't talk about the water, right?
I guess.
We don't talk about the air, you
the
know.
Mental image I had of, I have to go back through all of my mindscape and just add birds to everything, I guess. Like, fuck.
Let's see, a passion for birds and dogs. And having often seen Federigo's falcon in flight, he became fascinated by it and longed to own it. But since he could see that Federigo was deeply attached to the bird, he never ventured to ask him for it. And there the matter rested, when, to the consternation of his mother, the boy happened to be taken ill. Being her only child, he was the apple of his mother's eye, and she sat beside his bed the whole day long, never ceasing to comfort him. Every so often, she asked him whether there was anything he wanted, imploring him to tell her what it was, because if it was possible to acquire it, she would move heaven and earth to obtain it for him. After hearing this offer repeated for the umpteenth time, the boy said, "Mother, if you could arrange for me to have Federico's falcon, I believe I should soon get better."
Okay.
Yeah. On hearing, which I think is a little selfish of him, you know, like
it's like asking for, you know, your neighbor's toys or something to your feigning illness to get.
It's that last part. I believe I'll soon get better. Yeah, if it was just his make a wish, you know, I get it, but
yeah,
whatever.
but
Yeah. On hearing this request, the lady was somewhat taken aback and began to consider what she could do about it. Knowing that Federigo had been in love with her for a long time and that she had never deigned to cast so much as a single glance in his direction, she said to herself, "How can I possibly go to him or even send anyone to ask him for this falcon, which, to judge from all I have heard, is the finest that ever flew, as well as being..."
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
"As well as being the only thing that keeps him alive," meaning by hunting and, you know, the only thing he has to live for,
not
I
like,
think.
not like it's a sire or
Right?
something.
Yeah,
Like,
totally.
if you kill the bird, you kill him. It's a
Right.
dragon heart rules.
Oh,
No,
man, that'd
okay.
be dope. Yeah.
Yeah.
"And how can I be so heartless as to deprive so noble a man of one of his one remaining pleasure?" Her mind filled with reflections of this sort, she remained silent, not knowing what answer to make to her son's request, even though she was quite certain that the falcon was hers for the asking.
There is so much about falcon. I didn't know we were going into a falcon story, like centered story, but great. Go on. Sorry. It just keeps jumping up and slapping me in the face that birds are a big part of this world.
Yeah. At length, however, her maternal instincts gained the upper hand, and she resolved, come what may, to satisfy the child by going in person to Federigo to collect the bird and bring it back to him. And so she replied, "Bear up, my son, and see whether you can start feeling any better. I give you my word that I shall go and fetch it for you first thing tomorrow morning."
Okay, so she's going to go get him his bird back. Great.
The next morning, taking another lady with her for company, his mother left the house as though intending to go for a walk, made her way to Federigo's little cottage, and asked to see him. For several days, the weather had been unsuitable for hawking, so Federigo was attending to one or two little jobs in his garden, and when he heard, to his utter astonishment, that Monna Giovanna was at the front door and wished to speak to him, he happily rushed there to greet her. When she saw him coming, she advanced with womanly grace to meet him. Federigo received her with a deep bow, whereupon she said, "Greetings, Federigo." Then she continued, "I have come to make amends for the harm you have suffered on my account by loving me more than you ought to have done. As a token of my esteem, I should like to take breakfast with you this morning, together with my companion here, but you must not put yourself to any trouble. My
Okay.
lady, yeah, My lady, replied Federigo in all humility, I cannot recall ever having suffered any harm on your account. On the contrary, I have gained so much that if I ever attained any kind of excellence, it was entirely because of your own great worth and the love I bore you. Moreover, I can assure you that this visit, which you have been generous enough to pay me, is worth more to me than all the money I ever possessed, though I fear that my hospitality will not amount to very much.
So, a real long-winded way of saying, don't worry about popping by. You cool here. Like, cool.
Yeah. You know,
so she did a little pop by. He's like, hey, you've done me right. You can do a pop by.
Yeah. And you know, all the money I ever had is not worth the happiness I feel right now with you. Right. Which what is super sweet. Yeah.
Very sweet. Romantic.
Yeah. Even.
Yeah.
So saying, he led her unassumingly into the house and thence into his garden, where, since there was no one else he could call upon to chaperone her, he said, my lady, as there is nobody else available, this good woman who is the wife of the farmer here will keep you company while I go and see about setting the table. So very
okay,
Italian.
So,
yeah.
So here's some rando to hang out with while I go probably boss people around, because he's not fucking setting the table himself, right?
Yeah, but he doesn't have anybody, right? So he's like
okay.
asking,
sure.
The woman that she brought can help out, right?
Sure.
So though his poverty was acute, the extent to which he had squandered his wealth had not yet been fully borne home to Federigo. But on this particular morning, finding that he had nothing to set before the lady for whose love he had entertained so lavishly in his past, his eyes were well and truly open to the fact.
So he's realizing he doesn't have what he used to, or he's unable to offer the banquet he did in the past.
Yeah, and even right now he has nothing he can put in front of her, right?
Sure.
Distressed beyond all measure, he silently cursed his bad luck and rushed all over the house like one possessed, but could find no trace of either money or valuables. By now, the morning was well advanced. He was still determined to entertain the gentlewoman to some sort of meal, and not wishing to beg assistance from his own farmer or from anyone else for that matter, his gaze alighted on his precious falcon, which was sitting on its perch
Whoa.
In the little room where it was kept.
Whoa. Okay. This is about to get real dark. So she's there to get that falcon.
Yep.
Yeah. She's there to get the falcon. He's become so poor, he has nothing to give her. And he's just running around doing like stalling for time. And then he looks over and just peering through a doorway is a beautiful little bird that's just sitting there looking like a chicken. And he's like, I mean, a falcon probably doesn't have that much meat on it, does it? I can't.
I don't know. You know, yeah. Tonight, like, I mean, in a pinch, sure. You know?
I'm sure, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, it's gotta be lean. It's a game, you know, it's a big bird.
Gotta be, so, yeah, but yeah. It gotta be gamey meat.
Yeah, it's not a fat bird, it's not like a turkey, you know.
Yeah, sure. All right, go on.
And having discovered on picking it up that it was nice and plump, he decided that since he had nowhere else to turn, it would make a worthy dish for such a lady as this.
So she's in the kit or like the living room, and she's like, it's taking a long time. Do you need help? No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. He's like slamming this falcon around, like trying to put it down, like getting his arm. No, don't come in. I mean, it's a scene out of a sitcom. All right. How's he going to do it? How's he getting himself out of this one?
So without thinking twice about it, he wrung the bird's neck and promptly handed it over. Yeah, so.
Okay. Wow, this is escalating so quickly. Go on.
And promptly handed it over to his housekeeper. I guess he does have somebody here, to be plucked, dressed, and roasted carefully on a spit.
I mean, that person is just sitting there going, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Did you just stone cold ice your like prized falcon to eat it? Did you just do that? Cool.
Then he covered the table with spotless linen, of which he still had a certain amount in his possession, and returned in high spirits to the garden, where he announced to his lady that the meal, such as he had been able to prepare, was now ready.
Oh, I mean, yeah, you don't gotta don't worry about it, but I jumped through a few hoops to get you this meal. Oh, you're gonna find it quite tasty. Gosh, I have dozens of questions. They don't normally eat their falcons, do they? I'm learning a lot about falcons today, but this is a bizarre thing. Yes, that falcons weren't just also farmed back then.
No.
Hey,
Yeah,
great,
absolutely
great. Just
not.
making sure. Making sure.
So the I don't, you know, I mean, even I tried looking, you know, I mean, if you put like, can you eat a falcon? You're going to get some results like how it's illegal. You're going to get.
Oh, sure. I'm not worried about this guy breaking the law with his falcon. I'm more worried about, you know, culturally, this is all looked down upon. Sure.
It's just, for the impression I get is it would be like a very, you know, an act of hunger. Right.
Sure.
So, but you know, I mean, if you in a pinch, you know, it is edible. It is a bird. Right. So
I also, gosh, this guy has literally nothing except a prized falcon. That's such a weird move, but whatever. LA is a weird place where you can own a Ferrari and be like just hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. So yeah, it's a thing. Yeah.
All right. The lady and her companion rose from where they were sitting and made their way to the table. And together with Federigo, who waited on them with the utmost deference, they made a meal of the prize falcon without knowing what they were eating. So for them, they're like, oh, this is lovely chicken. He's like, yeah.
This is like building
exactly
up
what it is.
One of the greatest horror reveals in like, yeah, this is that dinner scene from Eraserhead with the chickens, right? This is about to be just brutal.
On leaving the table, they engaged their host in pleasant conversation for a while. And when the lady thought it was time to broach the subject she had gone there to discuss, she turned to Federigo and addressed him affably as follows. I do not doubt for a moment, Federigo, that you will be astonished at my impertinence when you discover my principal reason for coming here, especially when you recall your former mode of living and my virtue, which you possibly mistook for harshness and cruelty. But if you had ever had any children to make you appreciate the power of parental love, I should think it certain that you would, to some extent, forgive me.
Okay.
So she's saying,
she's
you know.
She's beating around the bush.
Yes, exactly.
Quite a bit. Yeah, sure.
It's very, you know.
Oh, and I can see how this would work on a stage play, because you as the audience member knows like the comedy about to happen. So this is good.
Yeah, and then the line that I do like that gives me some credence here to her, right? Because otherwise I'm like, man, you know, she is really asking a lot given the way that she treated him. But she says, especially when you recall your former mode of living and my virtue. So in other words, like you used to spend a bunch of money, like no problem. And I had a virtue, which you, it says here, which you possibly mistook for harshness and cruelty. So because I was being chased and I wasn't really trying to get with anybody, You know, that's maybe what you took for me being cruel or harsh. Right.
Okay.
Like me denying you, you know,
Yeah, sure.
essentially. But again, you know, then she says, you know, if you had kids, you would understand what I'm going to ask you here. Right. And a lot of beating around the bush for her
Oh,
request.
you know those kids, they just love them the pets. They love their living pets.
Exactly right. So, however, she says, the fact that you have no children of your own does not exempt me, a mother, from the laws common to all other mothers. And being bound to obey those laws, I am forced, contrary to my own wishes and to all the rules of decorum and propriety, to ask you for something to which I know you are very deeply attached, which is only natural, seeing that it is the only consolation, the only pleasure, the only recreation remaining to you in your present extremity of fortune.
Laying it on a little thick, aren't we? We
Yeah.
are just, we are buttering this bread to the point where, are you buttering the bread or are you breading the butter? I mean, shit. All right, wait for the, I have been waiting for the shoe to drop for like 40 lines now. Let's go. Let's go.
The gift I am seeking is your falcon.
Here, dude, finally, finally, finally flapped out. And this is where you get
flapped
the
out. Hey.
Yeah. This is where you get the shot of him, and it just, you hear him go, oh no.
To which my son has taken so powerful a liking that if I fail to take it to him, I fear he will succumb to the illness from which he is suffering, and consequently, I shall lose him.
What am I gonna do? I just fed her that falcon.
In imploring you to give me this falcon, I appeal not to your love, for you are under no obligation to me on that account, but rather to your noble heart, whereby you have proved yourself superior to all others in the practice of courtesy.
She's still talking. What am I
She
gonna
just
do?
goes on for a little
What
more.
am I gonna do?
Now we got. Do me this favor then, so that I may claim that through your generosity, I have saved my son's life, thus placing him forever in your debt.
Oh no, it flew away. It flew away. It flew away. I left the door open and I was like, oh no, it flew away. It flew away. And he's gone now. So that's what happened to the falcon. And I'm sorry about that, but that's just what happened. I certainly didn't feed it to you in a weird manner, but it flew away.
When he heard what it was that she wanted and realized that he could not oblige her because he had given her the falcon to eat, Federigo burst into tears in her presence before being able to utter a single word in reply.
Yeah, okay. I mean, she was laying it on pretty thick. Literally, her child will die if
Yeah.
you... Oh, but there's no going back once you've eaten that falcon. Yeah.
At first, the lady thought his tears stemmed more from his grief at having to part with his fine falcon than from any
no,
other motive.
He did that one. He did that one without a second thought. That motherfucker saw that falcon and didn't see a beloved pet, didn't see a member of the family, saw calories. Just went, that little fucker could be eaten. Oh yeah, 100%.
Let's see. So the fine lady thought the tears were from his grief and was on the point of telling him that she would prefer not to have it. But on second thoughts, she said nothing and waited for Federigo to stop crying and give her his answer, which eventually he did.
Okay.
My lady, he said, ever since God decreed that you should become the object of my love, I have repeatedly had cause to complain of fortune's hostility towards me. But all her previous blows were slight by comparison with the one she has dealt me now. nor shall
you might have dealt that one a little more than fate did, but go on. Sure.
Yeah, I mean,
no one forced you to kill your falcon, my guy. You could have said, hey, you know, we haven't gone to the market yet, we don't got too much around here.
Or take the, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I can give you bird seeds because, you know, I have that bird. Maybe before we eat or I make any rash decisions about my pet situation, how about we discuss what you're here for? No, none of those things happened. So you can't just go, oh, fate took the falcon from me. No, you did stuff, my guy. That falcon was just being a falcon.
Let's see here. Yeah, so we're saying fortune. He's going to call her she. That's what he's talking about. So his luck, right?
Okay.
All previous blows were slight by comparison, nor shall I ever be able to forgive her, meaning fortune, when I reflect that you have come to my poor dwelling, which you never deigned to visit when it was rich, and that you desire from me a trifling favor, which she has made it impossible for me to concede. The reason is simple, and I shall explain it in a few words.
Oh, Jesus Christ, just get to it, my guy. Okay.
When you did me the kindness of telling me that you wished to breakfast with me, I considered it right and proper, having regard to your excellence and merit, to do everything within my power to prepare a more sumptuous dish than those I would offer to any ordinary guest.
Okay, yeah. Uh-huh.
My thoughts, therefore, turn to the falcon you have asked me for, and, knowing its quality, I reputed it a worthy dish to set before you. So I had it roasted.
You're telling me you killed the falcon and fed it to me.
So I had it roasted and served to you on the trencher this morning. A trencher is a platter, like a silver platter.
Sure. Yep.
Yep. And I could not have wished for a better way of disposing of it.
Dang. Okay, great. Cool.
But now that I discover that you wanted it in a different form, you know.
Yeah. Living. The alive form. Yeah.
That's usually how people want birds, usually. Kentucky
Depends
Fried
on
Chicken
my
aside.
Sandwiches.
Yeah. There you go. Hellman Rays. Yeah. But now that I discover you wanted it in a different form, I am so distressed by my inability to grant your request that I shall never forgive myself for as long as I live.
You okay?
Fair, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
In confirmation of his words, Federico caused the feathers, talons, and beak to be cast on the table before her.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I think she bought it. I think she believed you.
That would have been fine. No, yeah.
Would have been fine.
No, look.
Look at all this. Look at these bird parts. Look at how bird party they are. Yeah.
Yeah. On seeing and hearing all this, the lady reproached him at first for killing so fine a falcon and serving it up for a woman to eat. But then she became lost in admiration for his magnanimity of spirit, which no amount of poverty had managed to diminish, nor ever would.
Okay.
So, you know, she's like, man, this guy is just a giver.
I mean, that's probably the best way. She, you know, dating seemed a lot easier back then.
I guess, yeah. I don't know. It seems pretty brutal and difficult, man.
I don't know if I
of work here.
If I killed and fed my pet to a like date, I'm pretty sure that date has ended, right? Like that. Whereas here, they're like thinking, well, think about how much he's gone through for me. Like that's, I don't. There's something healthy in there. I don't know.
There is kind of, right? Like,
yeah, a little bit.
The spirit itself, sure, I'd give that to you, you know, just like, oh my God, what a giver, what a nice, you know, they say magnanimity of spirit, right? But yeah, but now that her hopes of obtaining the falcon had vanished, she began to feel seriously concerned for the health of her son.
Sure, because if the story logic led us to believe anything, he needed the falcon to survive.
Yeah. And after thanking Federigo for his hospitalities and good intentions, she took her leave of him, looking all despondent, and returned to the child. And to his mother's indescribable sorrow, within the space of a few days, whether through his disappointment in not being able to have the falcon, or because he was in any case suffering from a mortal illness, the child passed from this life.
Fucking that's I'm glad they at least gave, like, you know, whatever the disease naturally took him as an option, but still
yeah, totally.
Falcon sorrow as your death, right? Like, what a, I feel like I learned something today about people's falcon love affair.
Absolutely. You know, and again, you know, it's not weird, Jan.
It's very bizarre that not once in the Lord of the Rings is there a falcon. Well, the giant eagles, I guess.
Telling you, yep.
I
guess they're an integral part.
But it's not like, at no point does Aragorn just like falcon. He never like just throws one at, like, they're not that common in fantasy storytelling. So to me, that's fucking crazy.
It should be more. Crazy. Yeah. We're bringing them back. It's the year of the falcon. After a period of bitter mourning and continued weeping, the lady was repeatedly urged by her brothers to remarry, since not only had she been left a vast fortune, but she was still a young woman. And though she would have preferred to remain a widow, they gave her so little peace that in the end, recalling Federigo's high merits and his latest act of generosity, namely to have killed such a fine falcon in her honor, she said to her brothers, "If only it were pleasing to you, I should willingly remain as I am. But since you're so eager for me to take a husband, you may be certain that I shall never marry any other man except Federigo degli Alberighi." Her brothers made fun of her, saying, "Silly girl, don't talk such nonsense. How can you marry a man who hasn't a penny with which to bless himself?" "My brothers," she replied, "I am well aware of that, but I would sooner have a gentleman without riches than riches without a gentleman."
Dang, some medieval truths, some wisdom being laid down.
Yeah, right. The one part that's interesting to me is that she just wants to remain a widow, you know, like,
yeah,
I'm just done with it, man. You know, I got all this money. I'm just gonna just fuck right off and can't be, I guess. Or go back to Florence. I don't know. Do what you want, girl.
Sounds like the dream.
Yeah. Seeing that her mind was made up and knowing Federigo to be a gentleman of great merit, even though he was poor, her brothers fell in with her wishes and handed her over to him, along with her immense fortune. Thenceforth, finding himself married to this great lady with whom he was so deeply in love and very rich into the bargain.
And also fed a falcon too that one time, but yeah, right. We just yada, yada, yada our way past that one real fucked up and traumatic thing I did. But yeah, anyway.
Federigo managed his affairs more prudently and lived with her in happiness to the end of his days.
So it's a happily ever after?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Falcon Killer McFuck just gets away with it?
Yeah.
There's no like cosmic comeuppance. None of... So he... Okay. Cool. Great. Cool. Fuck the falcon. What? I wonder if he got other falcons with the fortune. Do you think he, I'm sure they don't go into it, but I wonder if there was any more falconry in his life, or did he know that
I should probably
avoid falcons at this point?
Or do you just go all in? I mean, yeah.
He didn't seem that bothered by it in the first place. So,
No, took it and killed it pretty quick.
Pretty quick.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's the story, Jam.
What a weird like way to set up values. What a educational experience for the man beast relationships. Wild.
What would you title this? I'll tell you what it's currently titled in.
What would I title it?
I've seen this in some world literature anthologies for like high school.
Sure.
So sometimes this is taught in high school and it's given a particular name.
Let's see here. Hey, what's for dinner?
That's such a good one. That's so clever. Yeah.
Let's see here.
It's boring. It's boring.
You'll never guess what we're eating tonight.
Everything does taste like chicken.
Yep, that's good. Is it any of those?
It is Federigo's falcon.
Oh, okay. Yep. So
simple to the point. Yeah. Yep.
You know, that's my favorite dish down at the Falconry. It's a new place that's opened here in LA. They serve nothing but falcon related dishes. What's cool is you get the talons and the beak as a souvenir.
That's funny. Again, and trying to look at this, looks like they, for any reports I can find, take them with a grain of salt, but people are saying they're very tough. There's not a lot on them. And I guess some of the organs can be, I mean, some of these are like obscure, like hunting websites. Most of them, again, are saying this is incredibly illegal, so you can't.
Sure.
Almost all birds of prey like that are protected. So definitely don't try this. And I guess there's toxins in a lot of the organs. So there's a reason why these things are not extinct. They don't taste good and they might kill you. So
sure.
It's usually a reason for humans to be like, yeah, I guess we'll leave you alone. You know? Yeah.
So she just watched her son die and still married the guy anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Was so moved by the act of sacrifice, which again, you know, I mean, here's the thing, right? Like there's as much as the previous one had an act of coercion, you know, and like fear. This one has a act of
like sacrifice.
Yeah.
And like, right? Yeah, sure. Sure.
And that's why the stories are paired together. But like, I wouldn't put these stories together. Like it tells me more about the times than about like, you know, an overarching truth. Cause I don't know, you know, how they're juxtaposing each other. You know, the woman has a lot more authority in this one, you know, but even her brothers kind of, you know, force her to marry. So it's not like she's like fully autonomous and chooses, you know, well, I guess she does kind of choose, but she wanted to choose to be a widow, you know, and they're like, no, choose again. You know,
how very modern.
Yeah. So anything you want to say about Federigo and the Falcon on our outro on this one?
I can't wait to rework all my D&D campaigns to have Falcon related content in them. I didn't realize I was missing so much falconry in my day-to-day life. I can't wait to see a falcon now because I'm going to be doing is sizing it up to eat it.
100%. Yeah. I think I will too. I see some in, I saw some birds. I couldn't get it on Merlin, but it's definitely some kind of, you know, a hawk or falcon or something. And next time I will, you know, try to capture it and bring it back and, you know, develop a relationship and lose all my money and then feed it to a woman.
Yep.
So,
hey, it works out for you in the end. So
it does. And I become really rich and I learn my lesson. Yeah. And I'm happy for the end of my days. Yeah. Sounds great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time. See you in 2 weeks.
Much love.